Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. I thought we'd start out with some items in the news today, and I got a few things lined up here. On the screen. UN confirms denial of Jewish connection to Temple Mount. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, on Wednesday officially passed its resolution denying any Jewish connection to Jerusalem and its holy sites, including the Temple Mount. Now, who does the UN think they are? They've declared Jerusalem an international city. And of course, if you've been listening any time to my broadcast, you know that the UN is the image of the beast of Revelation chapter 13, because the United Nations was created by the second beast of the same chapter, described in the same chapter. And of course, we know that who the first beast is. The first beast is the Roman Empire as it exists today, as the Bible said it would exist today. So anyway, but they've declared that there's no Jewish connection to the Temple Mount. And I have that from Israel Today news there. And another Muslim inscription acknowledges Jewish temple. This goes back into a little history here. An inscription from the early Islamic period has been added to the pile of evidence attesting to a long Jewish connection to Jerusalem's Temple Mount, contrary to the article that we just read. Anyway, you can find those there at israeltoday.co.il if you're interested in those, or maybe my producer will put a link in the chat room to those. You got a link for those, or did I come up with those?
No.
Oh, those were mine. Okay, well, I guess I'll have to put a link to the first article in the chat room, and then there's a link in that article to the second one. Let me put that over there in the chat room. And I thought I was putting this on the screen, but it isn't. You've been watching me the whole time. I've got new software here, and I'm not quite used to using it yet, but I'll get on the case. Let's see. Chat room, there it is. Good morning, everybody there in the chat room. And we'll get on with some more news items. And we also have questions. I'm glad to see Ree in the chat room. He called me a little bit earlier, so we were going to address some things that he was concerned about in the chat room. I mean, on the phone earlier. Let me get back to another article. Clinton and Trump offer diverse ME scenarios. Now, I found this very interesting. And, of course, ME is Middle East scenarios. So I thought this was, I'd spend a little bit of time going over this article for you. And put on my reading glasses here. Either that or I gotta make this thing bigger. And I know just how to do that, so I don't have to. There we go. Whoever's elected U.S. President November 8th, he or she will land in the middle of a foreign policy shambles and face a pressing need to rebuild America's fences in most parts of the world, including the war-ridden, messy Middle East. The Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton and a Republican rival Donald Trump, whose approaches are so different in every respect, will both find it impossible to isolate America from the Middle East. Debka Files, military and intelligence experts, postulate divergent developments in response to the alternative results in the November 8 presidential election, depending on the winners. And this is from Debka.com. If it is Hillary, then Russia will deepen its expansion in the region, including in Syria and Iraq. The Russian naval units speeding to the Mediterranean at this moment are part of Moscow's ramped up deployment in readiness for Clinton's entry into the White House. Vladimir Putin will not forgive the Democratic candidate in a hurry for her anti-Russian campaign gimmicks of depicting Donald Trump as a friend and alleging that Russian intelligence hacked DNC emails to turn the race against her. The Russian leader is not the forgiving sort when it comes to his reputation, and still less so when Russian intelligence, his alma mater, is impugned. The high tensions expected to prevail between the Kremlin and the Clinton White House may well ignite a limited military conflagration between U.S. and Russian forces in the Middle East. Syrian rebels are counting on Clinton to give them arms and funds, in contrast to Barack Obama, and are therefore tenaciously holding out, despite their inferior resources, against Russian-backed Syrian and pro-Iranian forces. They see her focusing on Bashar Assad's ouster, and even more on empowering the rebels to hamper Russia's military designs in Syria. In this, she will find support from her friends in the Gulf Emirates. The Syrian opposition believes that the sharper the tensions between Washington and Moscow, the better their cause. Clinton has a dilemma with regard to Iran. As co-author of the nuclear deal, she will also try to improve relations with Tehran, but by doing so, she risks alienating her friends, the Arab Gulf leaders. She will soon discover that Iran's rulers and military chiefs have no wish to cozy up to Washington, certainly not at the expertise of their highly profitable ties with Moscow and Beijing. Clinton will no doubt try to repair the damage to U.S. relations with Israel that piled up during Obama's term in office, or two terms in office. If it is Donald Trump, then he will go for a U.S.-Russian summit with Vladimir Putin to lay out a new world power order for the distribution of spheres of influence in different world regions, including the Middle East. He may make the summit trilateral by inviting Xi Jinping of Russia, and I'm sure I massacred that name. This summit will also seek economic understandings, a prospect which is already unnerving international markets. Trump will ask the Russian and Chinese leaders to share wholly or partly in the plans he put before the voter for strengthening the American economy. The Republican candidate has said repeatedly that he would be glad to leave the war on ISIS in the Middle East to Putin and Tehran. Yes, I agree with that. If I had my druthers, we'd be out of it. In any case, his military advisors, led by retired Army Generator Mike Flynn, perceive Moscow as already in control of the current military situation in consequence of Obama's policies. This policy, however, will put the Trump administration at odds with the Arab world, the Gulf Emirates, and Israel, all of which fear Iran's continued drive for expansion across the Middle East under a supportive Russian umbrella. He may try to compensate for this lack of equilibrium by taking a strong line against Tehran, even invoking the nuclear deal, which the outgoing president saw as his crowning foreign policy achievement. This could spark a U.S.-Iranian showdown in the Gulf region. On the other hand, Iran is perfectly capable of dumping the nuclear cord on its own initiative. During Trump's first year as president, the traditional U.S.-Saudi partnership for political, military, and economic policies may start crumbling, especially on oil pricing. This alliance between the Royal House of Saudi and the U.S. dates from the first encounter between President Franklin Roosevelt and King Ibn Saud 71 years ago. Debka Files, Saudi experts estimate that after some initial rough patches, Donald Trump and King Salman will be able to find common ground and so put relations on a firmer footing than before. This will repair the discord with Riyadh engendered by the Obama administration during Clinton's term as Secretary of State. Trump will endeavor to improve ties with Israel. In so doing, he will try and contain Benjamin Netanyahu's outgoing understanding with Putin on the Middle East. And there you have that. a little taste of what will happen depending on who gets into office for our Middle Eastern policy between Hillary, and basically Hillary will be much of the same as has happened under Obama, basically. So looking for some real positive change there in case that other guy, Trump, gets in. Okay, let's see, what else we got here on the, let's see, my producer found some articles for me, so let me take a look at some of those. Let's see, Pope bans women forever. Okay. And this is on the Antichrist front, so if you know who the Antichrist is, well, I believe with the Reformers that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist. The Pope sits in the seat of the historical and biblical Antichrist. So we got a little Antichrist update here and a few things in the news on the Antichrist front here. Let's see. Here we go. Pope, women will be banned from the priesthood forever. Well, you know, at least, you know, I don't know about that. The priesthood. Yes. I would say that women shouldn't be pastors if you're gonna, you know, use the Bible as your standard for faith and practice. But, there you have it from the Big Daddy himself, the Big Papa, the Holy Father of the Antichrist Church. Women will be banned forever from the priesthood. Let's see what else we got from our good friend here. Okay. Next one. Here we go. Well, I guess we have to allow that. Okay, well, a lot of cookies on that one. Oh no, this is that Pat Robertson one. Yeah, I thought I should have vetted these. Oh yes. Okay, deny. I should have put these up first so I could have done all that before. Okay, keep getting interrupted by cookies. Go away. They got a raw story. They got too many cookies. I'll tell you that one. Oh, good picture of Pat there. let's see. Televangelist Pat Robertson warned on Thursday that the government was pushing technologies that would force every financial transaction to be controlled by computer, and it could be the mark of the beast described in the Bible's Book of Revelation. Well, you know, I think I'm right on board there with Pat Robertson. So, on that one, I hate these websites with all these cookies. If only you could eat them, and they were chocolate chip, then I would take all the cookies they could give me. And, you know, I would agree with them. I have a good, I posted a, on my, post on my website. And what was that post? Maybe I ought to look for that one. Go to my website here and go back a little bit, because it wasn't too long ago I posted this posting. And where was that at? America's Place in Bible Prophecy. I guess it was longer ago than I thought. Oh, here it is. The Cashless Society. Resistance is not futile. And this is this here, the video on that posting is just a 1 minute video, but it's the article that you have to read there, and it goes into quite a bit of depth with a lot of sources about the Cashless Society and how it's coming on. So make sure you take advantage of that there. So it's still on the front page of my website. If you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll find it, and it's called, yes, the Cashless Society. Resistance is not futile. So make sure that you take advantage of that, okay? And let's see, a few more articles. We're just going to do articles and headlines here for the first segment of the show to catch everybody up on what in the world is going on. Let's see what else James sent me over here. And to put in my glasses to read this little itty-bitty stuff. Oh, yeah, we've got some stuff on a lot of persecution. Got three articles here on persecution that's going on while we wait for them to load. Sorry I didn't load these on my computer, so I should have done that beforehand. I'll be ready next week, I promise. Anyway, waiting for it to load. Yes, this is from CNS News. Okay, here it is. Okay, 2011, Christians in Syria, 1.25 million. 5 years later, Christians in Syria, less than 500,000. So we lost, 750,000 Christians have either been, mostly fled Syria, and that's why they've destroyed like all these old churches, and there's a lot of trouble in Syria right now, especially for Christians having to flee for their lives from Hillary Clinton's State Department, Obama-sponsored ISIS. And I'm glad Russia's in there. I hate to say it, but I'm glad Russia's in there, and I'm glad that because this Obama war against Christianity has been relentless on our brothers and sisters over in the Mideast, and so their faith has been tried sorely. And I'm sure that many of them have been tried in the fire. And anyway, so there's that article, and my producer will put that in there if you're interested in that. I'm not going to read the whole article, but the headlines say quite a bit. Okay. Well, I deny. I only accept chocolate chip cookies. There you go. If you see me denying cookies on my browser. Yes. That's why I have to vet all my articles before I open them up. So it might not be a good idea, but I'm gonna open this other article anyway, the North Korean one. And while we wait for it to load, here it is, already here. Let me put that on the screen. North Korea's Christians aren't praying for freedom or money, but for more of Jesus. And like I said, I only accept chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, otherwise you get videos playing and audio and stuff, especially when you're on the air. It's kind of, gets kind of crazy. Although it's been called the worst country on earth to be a Christian, the East Asian country of 26 million ruled by communist dictator Kim Jong-un actually has a strong underground church and has a surprising message for Christians in America. And, okay. The revelation was made by Dr. Eric Foley, head of the Voice of the Martyrs Korea, in an interview last week. And for the past 14 years, Open Doors USA has listed North Korea at the top of his list of countries where Christians are persecuted. So we're at the very top. According to the organization, which champions the cause of persecuted Christians worldwide, North Korea's rulers see Christianity not only as opium for the people, but also deeply Western and despicable. And so you can check out that article, and I know there was another one. And so let me put that one on there while I make the transition here, load this other article here, and I'll remember next week to vet all these articles first. That's what tabs are for. I remember when we had our browsers, we could only have one thing open at a time. Boy, oh boy, things have changed, haven't they? Yes. Oh, this is a Forbes article. Oh, continue to article. Yes, good idea. I think I'll do that while I take a sip of coffee. Waiting for the article to load here. Yes, continuing in three. Continue to article again. Okay, this is a game, and I'm going to close these other windows up because they keep rolling even though you're not at them, and I'm going to get rid of this Pat Robertson before it starts playing some video or something. I don't think they're going to let me watch this article in Forbes. I mean, let me read this article. Okay, well, I guess we don't get that article. Well, that's the way that goes. Okay, well, I do have a couple more articles. Here we go. Oh, I read that one on the Clinton. Oh, yeah, one more here. We have this one here. I want to show you this one. A federal judge, where are the Christians? That's what he says, a federal judge. Oh, excuse me, getting a little dry here. Federal judge has rebuked the Antichrist Obama administration over the lack of Syrian Christians being admitted from the war zone. Judge Daniel Mannion addressed the refugee issue and took aim at the Obama administration over how few Christians had been admitted to the U.S. The judge called it a perplexing discrepancy that only 56 of 11,000 Syrian refugees to the U.S. in fiscal 2016 were Christian. The rebuke came in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals opinion on a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by the Heartland Alliance's National Immigrant Justice Center. A report from the Fox News singled out the following quotes from Mannion. It is well documented that refugees to the United States are not representative of that war-torn area of the world. Perhaps 10% of the population of Syria is Christian, and yet less than one-half of 1% of Syrian refugees admitted to the United States this year are Christian, he wrote. To date, there has not been a good explanation for this perplexing discrepancy, Mannion noted. And you remember the article that we read about the number of Christians went from 1.25 million to 500,000. So 750,000 Christians have fled Syria, yet the refugee population of the 11,000 Syrians that have come to America, a very small, minute, less than 1.5% of them have been Christians. And of course, that's because we have an Antichrist in power. Okay, let's see, what else do we got to go on here today? Okay, I think we're getting close to a break here. Yes, we are. And I want you to go to my website, that's crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe and go to the Prophecy Reality News tab there and hit the share button there and see if we can get a few more people to come in to the chat room with us and join the program. We'll be back in a few minutes. Go not anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And yes, we are on Tuesday evening, and it's 8:32 p.m. Pacific time right now. So if you're listening live on First Amendment Radio, however you may be listening, our Prophecy Reality app, come on over to the chat room. Go to firstamendmentradio.com, click on the chat button, and you could even call in if you would like to. If you want to speak on topic, and I may have a chance where I say, call in and we can talk about anything you want. Let's see, where was I going to go next here? I have Ree in the chat room from Latvia over there by the Baltic Sea. Thank you for coming in, and I was hoping to see some of your friends in here, some of your futurist friends that you're debating with these days. And welcome to the historicist camp, my friend. We need more people over here that aren't counting on some fictional scenario where they're all going to be raptured away before anything bad happens to them. What a nice fantasy. Yeah, hold on to that one, will you? No, I'm just kidding. You let go of it. Otherwise, you may find yourself in real trouble. Let's see. What was I going to do now? Now, Ree called me earlier, and so I'm going to address what he called me about, if I can figure out how to get my stuff on the screen here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. And he called me about the abomination that maketh desolate. He had some questions about Daniel, the reference there in Daniel. And let me put this on the screen. And this is actually from my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. There's a chapter called The Abomination of Desolation. So if you haven't got a copy of my book yet, go to my website. You can get an absolutely free copy. Just click on the Get the Free E-Copy tab there and follow the instructions. You know, you have to subscribe, or if you're already subscribed and you haven't got the book, to say, I've already subscribed. I would like to get the book. Or you can resubscribe if you're not sure you're subscribed. But when you subscribe, you have to verify by email your subscription, or you're not really subscribed. So make sure you get the verification email. It might go to your junk box or whatever. Make sure you get it and verify your subscription. Otherwise, I don't know that you're really subscribed. So do that and then leave a comment. Say, I'm ready. I subscribed. I shared it on my Facebook, or I called my friend and told him to watch your program. Whatever. I told my mother about your show. However you want to share it, I'll leave that up to you. I'll believe you. And then I'll send you a link for a free e-copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Which, don't let the title fool you, it's named after the second chapter. The Rapture Will Be Canceled, but it's about a whole lot more. One of the chapters is called The Abomination of Desolation. We're going to talk about that right now because, like I said, Ree called me a few hours ago and asked me about it. So here's the actual page. Whoops, that's still not the actual page. Desktop. Oh, there we go. And let me turn my face off. Yes, I like this new software. It's really nice. Anyway, so here it is on your screen. If you're watching on the little screen or big screen or whatever, chapter 8 in my book. And here's the reference here. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Parenthetically, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And that's from Matthew 24, 15 and 16. And you have to, while you're at it, you have to then read the chapter that's called Matthew chapter 24 explained, because these things all fit together. Okay? So it's very important, but this is the reference. And see, now here it is. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Is the parenthetical statement that that God is writing to me and you, even, because this is the whoso, and that's like whosoever, anyone, anywhere, anytime, whoso readeth, because we're reading it in the book. We weren't there. We aren't part of the ye in that. But if you read my Matthew chapter 24 explain chapter, you'll get a better understanding of what I'm talking about. But anyway, so we read on here. Jesus is telling ye, his disciples, that they will see the abomination of desolation in the midst of answering the two questions from them. He would have said whosoever if he were speaking to a future generation. He also expands the warning to them which be in Judea, to those who were living at that time. They would see the abomination that he spoke of. He's not telling us that we will see it, but the author only includes us in the parenthetical close, whoso readeth, let him understand. This is an explicit instruction for everyone to look in the book of Daniel to understand exactly what it was that Jesus was telling those inhabitants of Judea what they would see. Okay? So, we find the word abomination twice in the book of Daniel. I have both references here on the screen for you. First one is Daniel 11:31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So there's our first reference in Daniel. See, God is telling us, me and you even, anyone who reads, whoso readeth, anyone, anywhere, anytime who reads this, to read it and understand, to look into Daniel and understand what this abomination of desolation reference really means. So that's what we're looking for. And the second reference is Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay? Now, the Daniel 11:31 is a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes, among other acts, slaughtering a pig on the altar in the temple. So here we get a definition. An abomination that maketh desolate is a wrong sacrifice in the temple. In this instance, it did not bring about the desolation of the temple, as it was not the Hebrew nation which was directly responsible for the act, nor was it made a standing practice. Okay? And we'll go back to our reference when it says, you see, you shall stand in the holy place, a standing practice in the holy place. So it wasn't made a standing practice. Okay? Daniel 12:11 is the direct reference to what Jesus was telling those in Judea to be on the lookout for. When was this wrong sacrifice set up as a standing practice in the temple? I will show you in the scripture. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the errors of the people. Very important. The Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. This, underlined, was the authorized sacrifice for sin until the Messiah came and sacrificed himself. Reading on here in Hebrews, verse 11, chapter 9. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, speaking of the temple, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. John's witness is that Jesus said, "It is finished," before he gave up the ghost. Matthew records, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. What was finished? That's the question. And what does the renting of the veil in the temple represent? The sacrifice for sin, once for all, was finished when Jesus gave up the ghost. The veil being rent in the temple signifies that Jesus was the way into the holiest of all, so that the blood of goats and calves was no longer an acceptable sacrifice for sin. He caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease in the middle of the week, just as the prophet Daniel foretold. He caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease by the sacrifice of himself. If anyone does not understand this, then they do not understand the gospel. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And he, and that's Daniel 9:27, the 70 weeks prophecy, confirmed and fulfilled by Jesus himself during the 70th week, which followed the 69th week. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, now this is the prophet Malachi, confirming the Daniel prophecy by giving practically the same telling of the same event, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Who was the Lord that they seeked? What was the Messiah? Jesus is the Lord. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And what is he called? The messenger of the covenant. Even the messenger of the covenant. He confirmed the covenant with the many for 1 week, the final week, the 70th week. Whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, Malachi 3:1. Now, if Jesus was the messenger of the covenant, as foretold in Malachi, who better to confirm the covenant than the one who was to fulfill it? Even the messenger of the covenant. When Paul was brought to trial before the Pharisees and Sadducees, he testified to the hope of the resurrection as a primary point of contention between the two religious sects. Jesus told the Sadducees, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scripture, or the power of God," in answer to their direct challenge of the resurrection of the dead. Without the resurrection, any hope in any point of the covenant does not extend beyond the grave, making the resurrection the most important point of any covenant God made with Abraham or Israel. By his sacrifice and his own resurrection from the death of the cross, Jesus confirmed the most important of all the promises of God, thus confirming it as an everlasting covenant. And I think I'm going to, I got a quote here from, who's this? I'm going to leave that quote out. The immediate continuation of the animal sacrifice in the temple as a standing practice was the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet and Jesus. It wasn't some fictional thing that you read about, okay? It wasn't some fictional thing that you read about in Left Behind, or that you saw in some movies. I'm going to continue here. The abomination of desolation, yes. The immediate continuation of the animal sacrifice in the temple as a standing practice was the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, and Jesus. It was an unacceptable or wrong sacrifice in the holy place. The religious establishment and national Israel and national leaders rejected God's final provided sacrifice, the blood of the Messiah. And there's a lot more to that chapter, or a little more to that chapter. But do get my book. Like I said, it's free. And you can read that for yourself when you get the book. But I hope that clears up anything for you, reader. And like I said, I don't know if you have gone to my website. I don't think you've got a free copy of my book. So make sure you do that and you get that chapter and read it for yourself with all of the other quotes and all of the other articles or chapters that go along with it and support it. Let's see, what else do we have to cover today? Let's see. Oh, Reese says, I have your book, and you read it already. Okay, well, then you need to reread that chapter to get a better understanding, because a lot of times, you know, that you can't quite take it all in, and I know it's a lot, and you said you had some friends that had some questions about that. If you have any other questions, you can put them in the chat room, and if I don't notice them, my producer will notice them and let me know that you've got a question there for me. Anyone in the chat room, or if you'd like to call in the next, 7 minutes, we can take any questions you want in the next 7 minutes. So let's get the chat room going over the air there. Gonna have to give my producer this job of switching the screens too and all of that, but we're not set up for that yet. Okay, what else do we got? Okay. I did have, okay, I covered that, and you know what I did want to do was, I don't know how many of you would be interested in, I just found it so funny, and that was the full monologue, they clipped it out, it's 18 minutes, the monologue of Donald Trump roasting Hillary Clinton, and it's really good, and it's really funny, and I think maybe I'm going to play that, maybe in the last segment. In the next segment, I want to talk about a little bit more. I want to give you another preview of my book because it adds to what we're talking about here in prophecy and some of these other questions, but I hate to get into it right now. And that's why I was looking for other questions or to take if we had any. We got anything in the chat room I could answer there? I mean, keeping your eye on that? Nope. Let's see. Well, I was just thinking about, well, it, you know, to me, if Hillary becomes president or Donald becomes president, I don't really know who's going to be president. And I'm not a voter, so a lot of people may hold that against me. And if I was a voter, other people would hold it against me. I think that, you know, God is really in control and that it wouldn't make any difference who got in very much. I do like one guy, and I'm hoping that Trump over Hillary, but I don't know. Trump could turn out to be, like I said last week, he could turn out to be a Hitler for all I know. I just don't know what's going to happen. He is what he is. He's kind of a vulgar, ungodly man, he's pretty plain to see. You know, it's kind of what you see is what you get with both of these clowns, right? So, I don't want to be responsible for putting either one of them in office to tell you the truth. But, what does that portend for us? You know, we're talking about some of the persecution that's going on around the world, the church in China, the church in North Korea, in the Mideast. What's going to happen in America with what's going on, no matter who gets into office? Well, I see America becoming more and more pagan, but I have a feeling that that if not persecution comes to America, but judgment comes to America. So the best thing that could happen to America is judgment. And God brings judgment through natural disasters or foreign invasion. And so, if God's going to judge America, it would be good for America's soul. I hate to say that, but that's what happens. And it would grow the church. And I don't see how God can hold back judgment for America over the years to come. But the Bible does tell us, it gives us a little insight. And we're talking a little bit about Revelation chapter 13 and and the Mark of the Beast, and the two beasts, the first beast, second beast, the image, and the Mark of the Beast. Reese says, I'm trying to understand, I'm going to leave the Geneva one off for now. I need to talk to, where's Geo when you need him? That Geo said, no, that's WW. Where's WW when you need him? If you want to talk about the Geneva Bible, which I found helpful. Just quickly, Geneva Bible's good. King James is better because we have the Strong's and the Hebrew and Greek concordance with it, the tools that come with the. But you can get the Geneva on your eSword, too. So go to eSword. You can download the Geneva. You can do a parallel thing. But, yeah, Geneva's good. You know, it's the first real Reformation Bible. So it's okay. And I guess that's about all I need to say to that. Okay, and the notes. The notes are what they are. They're notes of men, you know, so you take them at face value for what they are. Okay, because the notes are not the Word of God. Okay, let's get to Reed's question. I'm trying to understand the timing, and my question is that the parallels in Luke and Matthew give the same commandment to flee when they see something. One says abomination, desolation, the other Jerusalem compassed with armies. If abomination is the wrong sacrifice, they should not have seen that right after. Should they have not seen that right after? No, well, yeah, they should have seen it. But the flee when they saw the armies, because that's what was there. When the Roman armies came, that's when the sudden destruction came. They had 40 years from the time that Jesus was crucified, and they continued with the animal sacrifice of both the goats and bulls, and the high priest went into the most holy every year with the blood of animals and the wrong sacrifice. It was an abomination now. What wasn't an abomination before was now an abomination because they rejected the Messiah. So, but the armies came later and Jerusalem was compassed about, and that was like, it's time to flee now. Now they had 40 years to prepare and flee, and that's what they were doing. If you read through the Gospels, you'll see that where they had all things in common, and many, they sold their properties and stuff, and they had all things. They were getting ready to leave. They weren't practicing socialism like the communists and the socialists tell you today. They were getting ready to leave the land because real estate was a bad investment. Okay? With what was coming to Judea, real estate was a bad investment. So, you didn't want to own real estate. So they were preparing to leave, and they did leave. So all of God's people got out. The elect, all of the people that accepted Jesus got out, and those that rejected him stayed there, and they got killed by the sword or carried away captive into all nations, just as Jesus said they would. And the destruction came with a flood, as Daniel and Jesus prophesied. So I hope that answers that for you, Ree. Okay, which one? By who? Okay, I want to learn and know how to walk away from my Social Security and survive. And that's from James. That's you. Oh, wait. Oh, you reposted it. Okay. Okay. Wow, man. I have a series and it's called Protesting the Mark of the Beast. And if you go to my website and you type in Protesting the Mark of the Beast, I think I did a 10-part series there and talked for 10 shows. I did an hour, so it's like a 10-hour series on Protesting the Mark of the Beast, what it takes. And it's also a chapter in my book, give you a little more information about it. But it doesn't tell you the how-to. But make sure you go to my website, put in there Protesting the Mark of the Beast on my search box, and you'll find that, and that should help you out quite a bit there, LDR. Okay. All right. We got good stuff coming up, so don't go anywhere. Get some friends in the chat room. Come on, let's fill it up.
The book of Revelation says, The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Listening to our Prophecy Reality Edition. If you're listening live at 9:04 p.m. Pacific Time, that would be 4 minutes after midnight on the East Coast there. Come on over to the chat room and join us at firstamendmentradio.com. My website is crosstheborder.org. If you go to the Prophecy Reality News tab there, there's a link so you can join us there too. And also, subscribe to my blog, click on that free ebook tab, make sure you read my book. And then, Reese says he's read my book, that means I guess he left a review over at Amazon for me. And I appreciate that for all the few people that have written a review there. You get a clown like, Chuck Missler writes a book, The Rapture, Christianity's most obnoxious belief, or preposterous belief. And, 1,000 reviews, and most people just gushing over the man and gushing with worship over his false prophecy. It's amazing. So I need a lot more reviews to compete than that, I'm going to tell you, than the few I've got. That's the way it takes. So I appreciate that. And if you haven't, well, I don't want to shame you. I just want you to go over there and do it. Write a review, whatever it takes. And share that book. And you don't have to just share the one time, when you get the free ebook. You can share it once a week. Every day. Come on. Help me out a little bit here. All right. And not only that, pray for the work that we're doing here. Myself and James here. And we got Richard working behind the scenes on some of our publications and stuff. And we need your prayers continually here. So I appreciate that if you add us to your prayer list and think about us when you're meditating on God's word and what good things God can do for His people. that maybe he can do more through us. As, we have no greater desire here that to work in God's kingdom than to further the work that he's doing here amongst his elect. And to reach out to those that don't know who they are, that belong to him, that have been chosen, and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. We want them all to come in and live the life that Jesus has for them, that he died to give them. Okay, I have one thing that I cannot respond to futurists, he says. So anyway, we're answering questions. Now, thank you for that, Al. You bought two copies of the book, one to give away. And if you want to give the book away, contact me, because I can get you, you know, my price, which is like $3.50 a copy or something, if you want to get a case or multiple copies, and I can have them mailed to you directly from the printer. So if you want to do something like that, make sure you email me, and we can tell you, you want to buy them for everyone in your church or your prayer group or whatever, email me, and I'll have them sent to you at my price, the author's price. And like I said, I think it's like $3.60 a copy or something ridiculous like that. So make sure you take advantage of that if you're doing that. And that way the printer doesn't make more profit than all of us. Not that I have anything against the printer. I'm glad for online publishing. Okay, I'm going to jump into give everyone another preview, because this goes to a lot of the questions that even Ree had, and it supports it. So if you hang on, Ree, and let me go through this, it might answer your question, because I was thinking, well, this would be perfect. So I'm going to give you another preview of another chapter in my new book that I'm writing, and I'm skipping a chapter from the last preview I gave you of a chapter. And this one is called Chapter 4, The Stage is Set. And these chapters are kind of the idea of a play, because the working title is When the Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. I'm not sure that's going to be the title of the book. It may turn out to be the title of the book, but that's the working title of the book. So I've got Chapter 4 here, and it's called The Stage is Set. So let me, how do I put that on the screen here like that? And even get my little face there reading it to you. So maybe I'll move my face over there and put it on the screen for you. Chapter 4, The Stage is Set. We have considered a possible chain of events, given the reality that most of the modern church has been purposefully deluded into believing a false interpretation of Bible prophecy. Now that we understand the script that has been written for, and I'm speaking about the previous chapter here when I said we have considered a possible chain of events, but you'll have to wait to get the book to read that chapter. There's a little teaser for you. Now that we understand the script that has been written for and accepted by the audience, we need only await the opening act of the play about to begin. We understand that our last chapter only recounts a guideline or prospect of what may happen. Things will, in all likeliness, play out somewhat differently. Just as we have thus speculated, we must understand that the entire 7-year Great Tribulation predictions are also nothing more than speculation, but based upon assumptions which are based upon more assumptions and conjecture rather than what is explicitly stated in Bible prophecy. And that is true Bible prophecy. So what is left, and what does prophecy really line out for our future? What does it explicitly express? God has given us prophecy in his word, and surely he is not the author of confusion. So there must be some accepted method of interpretation demonstrated in that same word. There is. In Daniel chapter 2, it is recorded that God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. This dream was a prophecy which revealed an overview of all of the great kingdoms of the world that would rule until the Messiah would come and personally reign in his kingdom over the whole earth. Some call the image that he dreamed of the Metal Man image. I call it the Mystery Babylon image, because it is the very same image that is destroyed at the Revelation chapter 18 desolation of Mystery Babylon. In the Daniel chapter 2 desolation, the image is struck in the feet by the stone cut out without hands. The feet representing the distant future, the time when Jesus would return for his millennial reign. In Daniel chapter 2, we are given an extensive prophecy, then a complete interpretation, followed by fulfillment in history and confirmation in the revelation for that part yet future. This is just one instance of how God teaches us in His Word to interpret Bible prophecy and how the Bible interprets itself. Daniel closed his interpretation from God with the words, "And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Only if our interpretation is explicitly stated in the Bible can we rely 100% upon it. Several things can be learned from what is explicitly stated in Daniel chapter 2. One, that the symbols are not to be taken literally. The image is not a real statue or a living being. Two, the different metals represent different kingdoms that will appear chronologically as we move down the image from the head to the feet. Three, there are no gaps in the interpreted chronology so that the understanding of any other Bible interpretation that does not fit or coincide with this chronology is unreliable. Four, that the iron portion represents the last ruling power in the earth, though it divides, then breaks into pieces mingled with clay at the end. Therefore, we can easily conclude, 1. That the two beasts and image of Revelation 13 somehow rule the remainder of the iron broken pieces together, tempered by the presence of the clay, immediately preceding the return of Christ. Is that a good conclusion, James? What do you think? 2. The Revelation chapter 18 destruction of Mystery Babylon is the same event as the destruction of the Mystery Babylon image of Daniel chapter 2 during the two beast and image period of rule. Okay? Now, I've heard people say, and I've disputed this before, that America alone is Mystery Babylon. But it doesn't fit into the Daniel 2 image, does it? So we have to disregard it. Certainly America is part of Mystery Babylon, but it is not Mystery Babylon by itself. Let's continue here. Okay, we have already discussed the clearly demonstrated fact that the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy was completely fulfilled at the first century according to the scriptural and historical evidence. And despite the fact that every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple preceded the building of the second temple, as recorded at Ezra chapter 6, the futurists choose to believe that many of these same texts foretell the building of a third temple before the return of Christ. If you find a prophecy in Scripture, it only makes sense to look for the first fulfillment in the interim rather than applying it to a speculative event in the future, especially where one is not explicitly stated. For instance, there is nothing in the entire Bible that explicitly requires a rebuilt or third temple before the return of Christ. This does not mean that it cannot happen, or does this mean that it cannot happen? No. But it does mean that until it does happen, it is pure speculation. The futurists will point to several scriptures where the word temple appears in the New Testament, in New Testament prophecy, such as in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, and the several Revelation temple scenes, then assume that a rebuilt temple will be required thereby, claiming that this will be the same fulfillment of those prophecies that called for the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian desolation, while ignoring the actual fulfillment that followed with the second temple. In the Old Testament, where the word temple is used, it always refers to a physical building or tabernacle, especially where it explicitly calls for a rebuilding in the prophecy. In the New Testament Gospels, of course, the temple building is present on the ground as a reality of the day, and the only prophecy including it explicitly calls for its destruction by Jesus himself. One other reference we may wish to note is that Jesus refers to his own body as a temple. In the epistles to the New Testament church, every mention of the temple of God likewise takes on a whole new meaning. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, when the same author prophesied of the man of sin, and I say the same author, whether Paul or God, it's the word of God, he penned it through Paul. So when the same author prophesies of the man of sin, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Is God, through Paul, referring to the soon-to-be-destroyed temple that was standing in Jerusalem when he penned these words? Obviously not. Is he referring to a yet-to-be-built future temple without explicitly stating that it will be built again after it's destroyed, expecting us to assume that's what he means? Again, absolutely not. Or does he expect us to believe that the temple is a reference to that which he has already taught us to understand about the New Testament church being the temple of God in the previous references? There's only one acceptable answer here. That is that God expects us to believe what we should have already learned, that we are the temple of God, and that this prophecy is about the man of sin taking the place of God in the hearts and minds of men in the visible church on earth, and in context, the heart of a great apostasy. The Revelation passages that include a temple scene should be treated no differently, as again, there's no explicit statement about rebuilding a national Jewish temple. And that's pretty much the end of that. And I add, notwithstanding, I do believe that there will be an attempt to build a third temple in the near future, but without a capacity for the blood sacrifice. It will effectively be nothing more than a national synagogue for Israel. And I guess you could say that's my speculation. And you can read more about that when I release my book. Okay. Now, I don't know if that answered any of the questions that we got over there in the chat room or that Ree had so he can let me know if that's the case or not. Yeah, this is where I need a co-host. Because you can get a little winded talking for this long. I'm telling you the truth, man. Yeah. So next week I'm gonna train my producer to have something to say in these pauses here. To make announcements or something. Oh, I know what I could do. Yes, and maybe I should do this. I may have to break it up, but I think I'm gonna play this thing. Or should I save that for, because I don't want to break it in the segment. So when I come back, I'm going to actually play that Trump thing. It was hilarious. And it was very serious. I mean, I was going, wow, could this guy get away with doing this? And if you haven't seen this, you're going to want to stick around and see this. I'm going to tell you, man. It's absolutely worth watching. I don't care where you stand on voting or whatever. It's absolutely something worth watching. Okay. Smoke's in the chat room. And everybody, Smoke is doing his show faithfully every Sunday, so on First Amendment Radio. So you might want to check that out. And question was how to answer futurists about immediately after the tribulation of those days. Oh, well, see, that doesn't, yeah, we are in the tribulation of those days that he's talking about. And now, if you go to my website, or read the chapter in my book, or the post on my website, Matthew chapter 24 explain. I have a video there. It goes through what's in that book in that chapter. And, that should explain it for you. But that is the tribulation, after the tribulation of those days, that's when Jesus comes. We are in the tribulation of those days that he's talking about, if I'm correct. That's an answer. But it's not a 7-year tribulation. It's not called the Great Tribulation anywhere in the Bible. That's Matthew chapter 24. After the tribulation of those days. And I guess I would have to pull up Matthew 24 and look at that. But I think I pegged it rightly. That there are two different tribulations. The tribulation of those days that we are in. Maybe I had to look up the reference. I'm just being lazy here. Okay, it's probably in one of my bookmarks here. Let me see if I have Matthew 24. Got a lot of good bookmarks here. Oh, here it is right here. Matthew 24:21. Then there shall be a great tribulation, and such as was not since the beginning of time. Okay, that's, except those days should be short, and there should be no flesh saved. Now that is the tribulation of the days that they were in. Okay? Later on, that in chapter 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's the end time tribulation. So there's two tribulations being spoken of here. And check out my Matthew 24 exposition, or Matthew chapter 24 explained. You can look that up on my website, and I'll explain you the difference. There are two questions, and if here, I'll put it on the screen so you can see. I have it highlighted in my Bible. There's two questions that the disciples asked Jesus. And the first question I have highlighted in yellow, when shall these things be? And the antecedent to these things is the buildings of the temple. You see not all these things, again, the buildings of the temple. And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? There's two questions there, and Jesus answers both of these questions. And I have this highlighted in both the posting, the video, and in my book, so that you can tell the difference between these two questions. The first question answered, highlighted in yellow. The second question answered in blue. And I have it both here, but this should all be blue. I just highlighted it separately. I guess I should have made that green or something. I should change that highlight to something else. Pink. There we go. so no one thinks it's the first question. So I have the questions separated out there, and I explain it how it's separated, actually separated in the text itself, so you can understand that. So I'm not going to go through that. It would be a lot. I've done that several times already. So make sure you check out that posting, and maybe my producer will put a link to that Matthew chapter 24 explained in the chat room for those of you who want to answer to that question. Okay, let's see what else. We're going into the break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to play you some funny stuff, man, that if you haven't seen it yet, yeah, you're going to want to stick around for this. I mean it. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. Make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. That's C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, and subscribe and click on that free ebook tab. Take advantage of that.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get left behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes left behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Okay, welcome back, and as promised, I'm gonna play this clip for you. If you haven't seen this yet, you're in for a treat, I think. It's very funny stuff. Let me see, I got it here. And this is also on YouTube, so you can find this if you look up. Just put in Donald Trump, Al Smith, and you'll find this. Let me see, how do I get this on the screen? Desktop, there it is. And make sure I get this sound on.
Thank you, Al. Wow. That was good. This is a hell of a dinner. Well, I want to thank Your Eminence. This is really great to be with you again. Beloved Governor Cuomo, a great senator. Hi, Chuck. He used to love me when I was a Democrat, you know. Mayor de Blasio. Wherever you are, where is Mayor de Blasio? Huh? Hello, Mayor. In the old days, I would have known him very well, but I haven't been doing so much of the real estate anymore. And I want to thank Al and Nan Smith. Just a fantastic job you do with the dinner, and congratulations on a record. Over $6 million, right? Is their record. And a special hello to all of you in this room who have known and loved me
for many, many years.
It's true.
The politicians. They've had me to their homes. They've introduced me to their children. I've become their best friends in many instances. They've asked for my endorsement, and they always wanted my money. And even called me really a dear, dear friend. But then, suddenly, decided when I ran for president as a Republican that I've always been a no-good, rotten, disgusting scoundrel. And they totally forgot about me. But that's okay. You know, they say when you do this kind of an event, you always start out with a self-deprecating joke. Some people think this would be tough for me, but the truth is... The truth is I'm actually a modest person, very modest.
It's true.
In fact, many people tell me that modesty is perhaps my best quality. Even better than my temperament. You know, Cardinal Dolan and I have some things in common. For instance, we both run impressive properties on Fifth Avenue. Of course, his is much more impressive than mine. That's because I built mine with my own beautifully formed hands. While his was built with the hands of God, and nobody can compete with God. Is that correct? Nobody, right? That's right. No contest. It's great to be here with 1,000 wonderful people, or as I call it, a small, intimate dinner with some friends. Or as Hillary calls it, her largest crowd of the season. Ah, this stuff. This is corny stuff. I do recognize that I come into this event with a little bit of an advantage. I know that so many of you in the Archdiocese already have a place in your heart for a guy who started out as a carpenter working for his father. I was a carpenter working for my father. True. Not for a long period of time, but I was for about 3 weeks. What's great about the Al Smith dinner is that even in the rough and tumble world of a really, really hard-fought campaign. In fact, I don't know if you know Hillary, but last night they said that was the most vicious debate in the history of politics, presidential debate, the most vicious. And I don't know, are we supposed to be proud of that, or are we supposed to be unhappy? But they did say that, and I'm trying to think back to Lincoln. I don't think they can really compete with that. But the candidates have some lighthearted moments together, which is true. I have no doubt that Hillary is going to laugh quite a bit tonight, sometimes even at an appropriate moment. And even tonight, with all of the heated back and forth between my opponent and me at the debate last night, we have proven that we can actually be civil to each other. In fact, just before taking the dais, Hillary accidentally bumped into me, and she very civilly said, "Pardon me." And I very politely replied, "Let me talk to you about that after I get into office." Just kidding, just kidding. And Hillary was very gracious. She said if somehow she gets elected, she wants me to be, without question, either her ambassador to Iraq or to Afghanistan. It's my choice. But one of the things I noticed tonight, and I've known Hillary for a long time, is this is the first time ever, ever, that Hillary is sitting down and speaking to major corporate leaders and not getting paid for it. Sure. You know, last night, I called Hillary a nasty woman. But this stuff is all relative. After listening to Hillary rattle on and on and on, I don't think so badly of Rosie O'Donnell anymore. In fact, I'm actually starting to like Rosie a lot. These events give not only the candidates a chance to be with each other in a very social setting, it also allows the candidates the opportunity to meet the other candidates' team. Good team. I know Hillary met my campaign manager, and I got the chance to meet the people who are working so hard to get her elected. There they are, the heads of NBC, CNN, CBS, ABC. There's the New York Times right over there, and the Washington Post. They're working overtime. True. True. Oh, this one's going to get me in trouble. Not with Hillary. You know, the president told me to stop whining. But I really have to say, the media is even more biased this year than ever before. Ever. You want the proof? Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case. And I don't get it. I don't know why. And it wasn't her fault. Stand up, Melania. Come on. She took a lot of abuse. Oh, I'm in trouble when I go home tonight. She didn't know about that one. Am I okay? I said, okay. Cardinal, please speak to her. I'd like to address an important religious matter, the issue of going to confession, or as Hillary calls it, the 4th of July weekend with FBI Director Comey. Now, I'm told Hillary went to confession before tonight's event. But the priest was having a hard time when he asked her about her sins, and she said she couldn't remember 39 times. Nah. Hillary is so corrupt. She got kicked off the Watergate Commission. How corrupt you have to be to get kicked off the Watergate Commission. Pretty corrupt. Hillary is and has been in politics since the 70s. What's her pitch? The economy is busted. The government's corrupt. Washington is failing. Vote for me. I've been working on these problems for 30 years. I can fix it, she says. I wasn't really sure if Hillary was going to be here tonight, because I guess you didn't send her invitation by email. Or maybe you did, and she just found out about it through the wonder of WikiLeaks. We've learned so much from WikiLeaks. For example, Hillary believes that it's vital to deceive the people by having one public policy and a totally different policy in private. That's okay. I don't know who they're angry at, Hillary. You're right. For example, here she is tonight in public pretending not to hate Catholics. Now, if some of you haven't noticed, Hillary isn't laughing as much as the rest of us. That's because she knows the jokes. And all of the jokes were given to her in advance of the dinner by Donna Brazile, which is, everyone knows, of course, Hillary's belief that it takes a village, which only makes sense, after all, in places like Haiti, where she's taken a number of them. Thank you. I don't know, and I don't want this evening without saying something nice about my opponent. Hillary has been in Washington a long time. She knows a lot about how government works. And according to her sworn testimony, Hillary has forgotten more things than most of us will ever, ever know. That I can tell you. We're having some fun here tonight, and that's good. On a personal note, what an amazing honor it is to be with all of you. And I want to congratulate Hillary on getting the nomination, and we're in there fighting, and over the next 19 days, somebody's going to be chosen. We'll see what happens. But I have great memories of coming to this dinner with my father over the years when I was a young man. Great experience for me. This was always a special experience for him and me to be together. One thing we can all agree on is the need to support the great work that comes out of the dinner. Millions of dollars have been raised to support disadvantaged children, and I applaud the many people who have worked to make this wonderful event a critical lifeline for children in need. And that we together broke the all-time record tonight is really something special. More than 6 million net, net, net. The Cardinal told me that's net, net, Donald, remember. We can also agree on the need to stand up to anti-Catholic bias, to defend religious liberty, and to create a culture that celebrates life. America is in many ways divided. Thank you. America is in many ways divided like it's never been before. And the great religious leaders here tonight give us all an example that we can follow. We're living in a time and age that we never thought possible before. The vicious barbarism we'd read about in history books, but never thought we'd see it in our so-called modern day world. Who would have thought we would be witnessing what we're witnessing today? We've got to be very strong, very, very smart, and we've got to come together, not only as a nation, but as a world community. Thank you very much. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that was it. There's the funny jokes, some very seriously funny jokes. I'm sure that Hillary wasn't feeling too good, even though she was trying to put on a happy face there. Anyway, if you want to check that out later on your own, you can just Google. I just put Trump Al Smith in a YouTube search, and it came right up. So pretty serious stuff there. Anyway, he didn't pulled no punches on Hillary there. Okay, well, we only got a few minutes left of this broadcast. Let's go back to the chat room. And, not to mention the Al Smith dinner. You see this at every time there's a presidential election, they have the two parties come up every 4 years, between the two parties and poke fun at each other. This is the most serious one I've ever seen, though. That's in all for millions of dollars for the Catholic Church, for the horror that rides the beast. And yes, they do control the country. And, you know, I don't know I know that even if, like Ronald Reagan, when he got into office, there were a lot of things that he tried to do, but they put a stop to. because people get the idea somehow, and I don't know if Trump has that idea or not, that you can get in the office and you can, presidential office, and you can do whatever you want. But I don't think so. The funny part? Telling the truth about Hillary in front of all those people and herself. WW says, I think I missed the funny part. Well, it was pretty serious, actually, but it was supposed to be funny. That's why they were booing him, because his jokes were too serious. What do you think, James? Yeah. Maybe he needs the video, just not audio. Oh. Yeah. Well, the video's right there in the chat room screen. And you already... But like I said, go to YouTube and watch it for yourself. Just put in Trump, Al Smith, and it'll come right up. And, you know, they'll have it cut out in an 18-minute segment of just the part he did. So... No, it was... The video was on the screen, wasn't it? Well, I'm not... I'm just doing the show here. I'm not monitoring it. But I'm pretty sure I put that video on the screen. Pretty sure it was over there. Anyway... So, anybody watching the video? Oh, Reese says, yeah, the video was on. So, okay, new software this week, you know, for publishing our video. We got high definition finally. And, so if we mess it up, then we'll learn how to use it to a little smoother sailing in the future. Okay, what else do we have? We got a few minutes here. And I'm kind of running out of gas. I try talking for almost 2 hours. See what happens to your head. Okay. Anti-Catholic stuff indeed, huh? Yeah, that part about Hillary hates Catholics? Yikes. And that was something else, considering where they were. Oh. Yeah. Oh, couldn't get the audio going. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you don't, you know, cause I got it to work on DSL earlier. Pretty good, actually, when I was testing earlier today. So, I try to vet all this stuff and make sure it all works before I go on the air, but we will do better in the future. Okay. And, yeah, it could be your internet connection. So, anyway, you can watch the video. Directly on YouTube, if that works better for you. But I am streaming on YouTube, so it's from their server, not from mine. Yeah, whatever. Nothing I can't control the universe. I can hardly control things around here. Okay. Let's see, what do we got going on now? How do you finish that out? Okay, well, maybe... We've talked about the UN being the image of the beast. America is the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. And, of course, we got the broken Roman Empire being controlled, you know, the broken pieces of clay that are left over. It's never going to be a cohesive one world order thing. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful that that the patriot dream of the new world order, it's kind of like the futurist dream of Left Behind and the Antichrist, none of that stuff is going to really come together like their fictional scenarios. That it's, we do have this broken New World Order, you know, with the broken pieces of iron mingled with clay, and I think that would be us. We are the clay. We're in the potter's hands. We are moldable. We are the kingdom of God on earth, and we are what tempers the kingdom of God and keeps any freedom or possibility of freedom that we have left is basically in our hands because we're here. Otherwise, evil would totally tyrannize everyone on the planet if not for the presence of God's elect and the effect that Jesus had, that God's word had on, and what Jesus did had on the world. To make anything good come out of it, as the scripture says that all things, good things come from God. So if there's anything good, we know where it comes from. So what can we expect in the future? Well, I guess we're going to have to save that for another show because we just ran out of time. You've been listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. May the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom and in His will. We'll see you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get left behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.